Now, get ready to spend the next 2 hours with our three sports-loving ladies, Mia O'Brien, Lauren Brooks, and Taylor Dahl.
This is Helmets and Heels
on 1010XL, switched on by First Coast Lighting and Fans. Upscale lighting, fans, and home decor. Show me what you got, pretty lady.
With the 23rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
Coming back to make the catch is Thomas. Makes a man miss and will score a second lightning strike.
When I toured the facility, it was a great place, a great environment. Just love the feeling of being in Jacksonville.
Thomas breaking open, hauls it in. Thomas tripped up, but it's still a touchdown for the Tigers.
You're adding a skilled receiver. You're adding depth. You're adding a guy that has an element of speed that we haven't had. I think it can only be a great asset for us on offense to not only open up the field, but I think open up some other elements of the offense.
Nussmeier throwing, looking for BTJ. He's got it. Touchdown, LSU.
He's 6'0", 270. He's 209 pounds, and he runs sub 4.4, mid 4.3s. So, and he's got the production to back it up. We're just looking forward to getting him in here and getting our hands on him and going to work.
Looking for Thomas again. He's got it. And LSU strikes back quickly.
I like to run past defenders, try to do my best to create myself and get open, and also helping my teammates get open.
Looking for the end zone. Touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr. does it again.
He was going to be the pick at 17. We felt we were going to get a really good football player that we had high on our board with the move back. But fortunate that, Brian was still there.
Duval.
And there you have it, Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, the newest Jacksonville Jaguar. I feel like lots of victory laps can be taken today. Coach Campo joined us yesterday, and he said multiple times he would trade back, he would trade back, he would trade back. He was certainly correct that that's what Trent Baalke ended up deciding to do, moving from 17 to 23, as you just heard. And, of course, lots of people were predicting Brian Thomas Jr. I've liked him for months. That's who I wanted. I was absolutely thrilled, and I think most people, Taylor, are feeling the exact same way.
Yeah, I think overall the vibes are good. There was the instant frustration of a trade back by a lot of people, I think, that they were just like, here we go again. Why are we trading back? Just get the player you want. But then I think once you heard compensation and then once they still got Brian Thomas, you were kind of like, everyone settled a little bit. I personally could care less about 12, 13, 14 picks. I don't care about that. It's interesting to me that we're hearing Brian Thomas was the highest graded guy on their board of those people when it comes to the two corners, maybe even when it comes to the edge positions that were available. But I feel like it's just really telling of how much they want to help Trevor Lawrence, and it's something we've been talking about a lot this offseason about how important it is and how important this season is for Trevor, and to give him a weapon like someone like Brian Thomas, who, yes, we talk about the 17 touchdowns, and one of the things that I, when I did my podcast on Brian Thomas, and this quote kind of sticks in my head about him, is he's more of a speed guy, less of a quick. And he was like, he's that guy that once he gets going, he's going to be fast. He's not the quick, crisp route runner, but he'll go over people's heads. He can be a deep threat, and then once he does get going, that speed will catch up to people.
I think that, and I was thinking about it on my drive-in today here to Players Grill, which is where we are coming at you live from on Helmets and Heels. Players Grill Mandarin, make sure you stop on by. We'll be keeping you posted on all the fun stuff they have coming up in the next few weeks throughout the duration of today's program. But as I was driving in, I couldn't help but think that so much speculation this offseason of would the Jaguars opt to draft a wide receiver. Then I thought, well, then there was, of course, the kicking the tires on Brandon Ayuk. There were Jaguar fans clamoring for T. Higgins to be traded for. And in thinking about who Brian Thomas is, who he profiles as, his skill set, what routes he runs well, what routes wide receivers at Clemson ran well that allowed for Trevor Lawrence to have success at the college level, what so many NFL analysts have said the Jaguars need to take this offense to the next level. He does have a little bit of Ayuk. He does have a little bit of T. Higgins in him. and he is just 21 years old and on a rookie contract for the next 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think this is a massive victory for Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke, as well as Trevor Lawrence, because you get that quote-unquote flavor, if you may, at wide receiver that you felt you were lacking, that in some regards maybe you thought Calvin Ridley could afford you, because you thought and you hoped that maybe he would be able to stretch the field and be a route runner. While certainly Brian Thomas still has room to grow in the route running department, he's not going to be asked to do that early on because the Jaguars did bring in Gabe Davis, because they still have Zay Jones on the roster. But he is going to afford you that opportunity to get the field extended, open up things underneath for both Christian Kirk and Evan Engram in the middle of the field where the Jaguars basically forgot existed for half of the season. And that's where I think it's a massive victory. Oh, and by the way, you also picked up draft capital, not just this year but next year, which is where, again, if you are in that market of it's the trade deadline, let's say there's a veteran edge rusher who's suddenly on the market, the Raiders have 3 wins and Max Crosby's on the market. You have draft capital now that you can go to them. And, yes, I know a third and a fourth isn't getting Max Crosby done, but, like, hey, I'm just throwing it out there. You have that draft capital now that you could go into the trade deadline and have additional picks that you could deal to get a veteran defensive or offensive player, for that matter.
Yeah, I think there are so many positives that have come out of what happened last night, and certainly one of them is the Jaguars have liked Brian Thomas Jr. for quite some time. I know that for a fact, that when people were making the selection of Brian Thomas Jr. in mock drafts, there was a reason for that. When Frank joined us, I have a feeling he probably had a good estimation of what the Jaguars felt about Brian Thomas Jr. There's a reason that they loved him, too. Mm-hmm. 17 receiving touchdowns last season. We led the nation. We've talked about that for a while now. The 4.33 speed, that's incredible. So you've got a guy who was productive in college, which we love to analyze different aspects that we think is going to translate to the NFL. That's one of them. Certainly Christian Kirk was very productive in college. Mm-hmm. That has translated well to the NFL as an example. And then you've got how good he tested. And so you got to combine all of that in this one player. And yes, he's now going to be less expensive than had you paid for other guys. Dane Brugler compared in the Beast. Dane Brugler from The Athletic compares him, Brian Thomas Jr., to T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a reason for that, and he studies tape more than most people. The reason I liked Brian Thomas Jr. is I watch a lot of SEC football. Yeah. I watched Malik Nabers, I watched Jaden Daniels, and I watched Brian Thomas Jr. He is a stud. And so, yeah, Trevor Lawrence and his camp have to be extraordinarily happy about this. And I also do know that the Jaguars liked 4 players when it came time for them to pick. One of them was off the board. So they still had the options that they wanted. And so, yeah, they went with the guy they liked the best. And I think he is going to be a huge piece of this offense right away. I know some people don't love rookie receivers and it doesn't always work out. I think he's going to be super, super talented. And great job, by the way, RJ Saunders, our producer back at 1010 XL headquarters, for putting that highlight package together. We are live, as Mia said, at Players Grill Mandarin. They have all sorts of fun stuff coming up, and so we will certainly tell you that throughout the show. At 12:15, we're going to check in, Mia, with Luke Hetrick and talk all about this draft overall. But so from the vibe last night, as you were down at the draft party, obviously, fans were excited because they've heard of this guy. I think there were other teams that may have picked players that fan bases were like, wait, who, what? But I think fans were probably very excited, right?
Yeah, I wasn't actually out at the stadium. That actually may be a better question for Graham Marsh, who's joining us, of course, at Players Grill, or John O'Leary, our engineer, videographer extraordinaire, because I was up in the Miller Electric Center, which, of course, now we have. This time last year and the previous 29 years, we didn't have the ability to have that separate facility. So I didn't actually get to hear the roar of the crowd. I do know that when the pick was dealt back to number 23, there were plenty of Irish goodbyes. Shout out to Patrick Young. That's literally what he told me. He's like, I just Irish goodbyed. I got out of here. Shout out to Pat Young. It was so funny. But I think it's, you know, unfortunately, because Trent Baalke is known as Trader Trent, I think that for Jaguar fans who, as we've been told by several here at Players Grill, who had to work the next day, who had to wake up early, the thought of staying up and staying out for another 45 minutes to an hour, not exactly ideal. And so, so I think there was a little disappointment there. But I think overall, if he was the player that they wanted all along and they got value, got him at 23 and also picked up additional draft capital, which I fully anticipate. And I know it takes two to tango. I fully anticipate the Jaguars trying to move up either in the second round or third round tonight. Then, hey, it was worth it. And yes, it is, according to multiple value charts, the 9th highest trade value in terms of what the Vikings gave up for Dallas Turner in terms of the correlation between did the Jaguars fleece Minnesota or not, which Trent Baalke said no, we didn't fleece them. We felt like it was fair. They felt like it was fair. But, yeah, a lot of metrics suggest the Jaguars got the better end of that deal.
Yeah, and I think that some of the people who may not love it may be just thinking more so in their heads they got the fourth wide receiver over being able to get the first or second corner or the first or second edge. And that's like a lot of the comments that I was seeing on that. Why would you trade back for like the fourth best when you could have got the first or second at another position that you needed? And that's going to, those are all valid arguments. Like I feel like I understand both sides in the scenario. I love Brian Thomas. I'm super pumped about it. I said yesterday, I don't know if there was a situation outside of like Nate Wiggins and maybe Xavier Worthy or something like that, that I really wouldn't like. And I've done a lot of stuff and a lot of research and watched a lot of Brian Thomas, so I'm excited about it. But I do see the opposite side of some people getting a little frustrated, especially when you start seeing, okay, well, we've been talking so much about now this defense is going to be a whole lot of 4-2-5. Do we have that five? I heard someone yesterday, I believe it was on primetime, talking about Darby. Talking about Ronald Darby, and was like, I'm highly concerned about that. He couldn't stay on the field his whole career so far, whether it's injury or just not being able to win a spot on the starting roster. And so he was concerned, and then that made me a little concerned. But there's still time. Like, they have picks. They have not too far away another pick where they could address that. I think some people, just because everyone's been slamming so hard about how deep this wide receiver draft is and how you could still get a pretty good wide receiver in round two and round three, that maybe some people have their concerns. But I feel like for the most part, most people don't think Brian Thomas isn't going to be a good player.
Well, and everybody also has that I want to be right syndrome, right? We all want to be right. And so it's easy for me to be like, well, I picked Brian Thomas Jr. In the media mock draft in Las Vegas. I'm right. Like, if they picked corner Terrion Arnold, it wouldn't have been like, oh, well, they should have done this because I wanted this. No, that means that's who they valued the best. And so I think people who were locked in at corner are disappointed because they wanted to be right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, what you need is to get the offense better, you need to get the defense better. Had they picked a corner, we would have all been excited. And today, instead of watching highlights of Brian Thomas Jr., we would have watched highlights of the corner being a lockdown corner.
Okay, good job. Well, and that's what, it's interesting too, because I heard somebody on when Mike Dempsey was taking calls earlier, and just to let people know, because us three have had this conversation even last night and this morning, but I heard a couple people comment about how they felt like Brian Thomas, his presser after and his interviews kind of seemed like he wasn't excited to be a Jaguar. I don't want people to think that whatsoever. Brian Thomas is just, he doesn't talk a lot. He's a quieter guy. We've all kind of heard that from a lot of the media at LSU. It's not like he's just kind of one of those even keel guys. You're not going to get a whole lot of rah-rah or energy out of him, but that does not mean he doesn't want to be in Jacksonville.
I think that's a good point. And at the end of the day, you're here to watch a football player and how they perform. And I think he'll fit in great with the locker room and everything like that in the offense. But yeah, everyone has a different personality. People also thought Doug Peterson didn't seem as excited as he should have. Yeah. Like, people just chill and watch the team come this September. All right, we are going to check in now with Luke Hetrick.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Our dear friend Miles Garrett of Fox 5 Sports in Atlanta is on an airplane right now, and so I was speaking with him as he was on his way back from the NFL draft in Detroit, and he said, you know who you got to call. You got to call the man who covers not only Atlanta sports, he previously covered Orlando sports. Yes, we will sneak an Orlando Magic question during this interview. He is the one, the only friend of the program, Luke Hetrick, on the All-Pro Roofing Hotline. Welcome to Helmets and Heels, my brother. It's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time, and this is like you call for 2017 Carson Wentz. He's not available. So it's like, oh, I guess we got Nick Foles lying around. So, maybe that'll work. And, hey, for some it does.
Super Bowl champion.
Segment, I think it's going to be a championship segment right here.
As I just told one of our texters on the text line, Design by Lifetime Enclosures, flags fly forever, Luke. So don't you forget that. Hey, I want to start this conversation with this. Some folks may say, why are you calling a reporter in Atlanta who covers the Falcons? Why do we need to talk about that? I think that number 8 proved to be, in the NFL draft last night, the true pivot point. I know for a fact that the Jaguars were among the teams that were inquiring to move into the top 10 should Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers fall to that position. I know Taylor noted the Chicago Bears were interested in coming up from 9. There were multiple teams that had interest in coming up and probably had the draft capital according to the trade value chart to do so. But what they weren't accounting for, Luke, was the fact that they would have to reach the equivalent of capital of a quarterback, because no one foresaw the Atlanta Falcons selecting a quarterback, and that throws the trade value chart out the window. And so I am just curious. Let's go big picture here. Did anyone know that the Falcons were taking a quarterback?
There were hints. There were small hints along the way. You go back to Terry Fontenot's press conference right before the draft, the day before, and he had said, and this really didn't get picked up that much until after the Penix pick, it was just because we have Kirk on our roster doesn't mean we're not closed off from adding another quarterback. That was out there. That was apparent. So now everyone had gone and said, okay, edge rusher, Raheem Morris coming in, switching from 4-3 to 3-4. Edge rusher, you know, they made some moves. But there were a couple of holes that they needed filled. But I don't think there was anything glaring. And the fact that they went and got Michael Penix, they look at this and say, last year we were battling for a playoff spot with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke to the last week of the season. Just a reminder, those two names are Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke, and they were still in a playoff race with wildly inefficient quarterbacks. You go get Kirk Cousins, a 36-year-old guy coming off an Achilles. We have no clue how he's going to be. They were going, we don't know if he's going to be ready for week one. He can only do dropbacks right now. Said that recently on a podcast. Cannot escape the pocket. You do not want to be in a position where he goes down early or isn't ready, or you're out of the race altogether very quickly because he's not playing well. They are in a much better position at quarterback today than they were last year. And they're in a.
Did we lose Luke?
Nope, that wouldn't be us. I'll be on his end. Don't worry, John O'Leary. All right, so we lost Luke there. Hopefully we were able to get him back. But that was a great explanation that I hadn't even thought about that side of things, ladies. The Kirk Cousins health factor. I think that that's part of this.
But why give him a 4-year deal if you're not sure about his health? That's the only. I liked the pick. Yeah, I liked the pick as far as what the Falcons have decided to do. But my criticism. Okay, my criticism is just the 4 years.
Yes, we have Luke back. So let's get Luke back. Continue your thoughts, sir. But we were just commenting. You brought up a great point. We really haven't talked about the health of Kirk Cousins. I think the spin zone following this selection by the Falcons has been, well, he's the quarterback of the future. Look at what the Packers have done throughout the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, I think you're going into it, and I think the masses are going in going, oh, we got Kirk. This is going to be the same thing as Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady. Going to get one of these guys. He's going to be around for a couple years. Everything's fine. Well, maybe, but Kirk Cousins is 36, coming off the injury. Like, we don't know. A guy that's not very mobile to begin with as a quarterback, who's going to be playing behind an improved offensive line, but does have some issues at right tackle. Caleb McGarry, Storm Norton, they kind of played that revolving door at times last year. They've done that the last few years. That's not a great place for Kirk Cousins to want to walk into. And again, he can only take dropbacks right now. Said that recently on a podcast. Cannot escape the pocket. Now, we're 3.5 months away from training camp. 5 months to the start of the season. A lot can happen. He's going to get healthier. He's going to rehab. But again, we just don't know. So you get a guy in Penix who, again, people were bringing this up, his injury history too. That would have been the place where I said, instead of going to get an edge rusher like they were all talking about, I would have boosted the offensive line, specifically that right tackle spot. But again, you value the most important position in sports. It's been something that's lacking since Matt Ryan left. They've tried to patchwork it. They didn't. They have a really good plan now in place for not just these, let's call it what it is, 2 years that it's going to be with Kirk Cousins, but beyond that as well, that they have a successor in place.
Now, when we had a viral moment when it comes to Arthur Blank and the conversation after the pick, and obviously everyone immediately just is kind of like, okay, he looks like he had no idea that was going to happen. What were your thoughts on that video and kind of what was going down after the moment that Penix was selected?
I didn't really have a ton of thoughts on it. I think it was just a snapshot moment of, okay, they're just explaining it or they're talking about something else. Because Arthur Blank's sitting in the room, he knows that they've had those conversations. The thing that needs to be kept in mind is the Falcons haven't been exactly A-plus at communication. That is something that needs to be reiterated when Arthur Smith was fired in New Orleans Sunday night, early January. The press release came out that that decision had been made by a lot of people, that discussion happened late that night with Arthur. Not in that discussion was Terry Fontenot, the general manager, who was the guy seen in that video talking to Arthur Smith. Next press release comes out about what they're going to do and the process and everything. And it doesn't say Terry Fontenot is going to be in the process. It doesn't say he had a say in the matter. So there have been all these things back and forth. And it comes with the Belichick cycle and everything with that as well. There was a question over Rich McKay, team president, Arthur Blank's right-hand man, who's been with him for a very long time, come from Tampa to Atlanta. There's that relationship. There's back and forth. There's a lot of information out there. Well, he's in charge and he runs the show, but he doesn't. And Bill Belichick is. So there was, from a PR standpoint, there weren't a lot of questions answered about communication, about workflow within that front office, within that hierarchy. So it is something that needs to be noted. Terry Fontenot now has spoken more. He's been more vocal these last few months than he was at all last season. I think that's a big shift in what they're doing. I think this is the pick that he truly wanted to make because he wanted to set up his plan. And I do think it's the decision that Arthur Blank wanted to make. He has made no secret about this, that he's in his 80s. This is, you know, the last stretch run for him. He wants to see a title. He's going to try and do everything he can to get that done. So if he wants to come and throw a little weight around, I think that's probably what happened in that one too. But I think him and Terry were definitely on the same page.
Look, what's fascinating to me is no one's talking about how good of a quarterback Michael Penix Jr. actually is. Everyone's talking about Kirk's reaction, and I can't believe the Falcons did this. At the end of the day, I think Atlanta got a really good quarterback.
I think they did, too. I mean, I think they got a guy that fits what they're going to want to do with Zach Robinson. I mean, last year, they could not push the ball downfield. They would have some moments where Kyle Pitts would break open with some great play design. Drake London was excellent at winning 50-50 balls, but those are their weapons. Those were it from a pass game standpoint. So now you've made some moves this offseason. Drake is still emerging as a top wide receiver in this league. You add Darnell Mooney. You add Rondale Moore. Still a couple more days of the draft to go. And you got a guy in Michael Penix that is incredibly accurate at throwing the nine route down the sideline. I mean, he is fantastic with it. It's going to open up the playbook. And he's going to have a guy that can mentor him. And one last point on the communication. That's the big point that I was leading up to and then never made was over the Falcons never telling Kirk. You know, we're talking about an organization that's probably going to lose a draft pick for tampering because they had no issues talking with him before free agency opened, before the league year happened, about coming here. And then when it's the most important decision, we're getting, again, all of these different reports inside and out of, well, Kirk was told that this might happen, but then Kirk wasn't told on draft night, too. Well, he wasn't told at all, and he was blindsided, and he was a little bit ticked off by it. Not great on that front. Not what you want to do, specifically when this guy who has connections to Atlanta, who wanted to be here, who has spent six off seasons here, who's just moved out of his in-laws' basement because they finally found a house in the area, made so many moves to get to Atlanta and want to be here, and then they say, oh, yeah, by the way, we did this. Hope you're cool with it. You can say what you want about it, that he's got, you know, nine figures that he'll be comfortable with. It's just not a great look to do that. When the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, they let Alex Smith know. Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, different story. And we saw how that went.
Right on cue, Luke. Mike McCartney, the agent for Kirk Cousins, released a statement through the NFL Network about an hour ago. And so the spin zone, the damage control, it has already begun. You can find Luke on Twitter at LH Sports TV. Again, he is covering all things Atlanta now, but he previously worked for Spectrum Orlando. And so, RJ, I think you need to do a little song. Producer RJ, are you prepared to sing a little song for Luke?
Can you play that tune, please?
Yeah. I think he's ready for this. Oh, he's looking for it. Real quick, just a couple words, Luke, on the Magic, who we'd be remiss if we didn't give a round of applause and a congratulations on a stunning playoff victory last night.
That was the Magic's Roman Empire. I mean, that was big last night. They needed that one. Look, just this is their ceiling, is the first round for this team, in my opinion. I still think Cleveland wins this series. I think they probably win it in six games. But for all the pent-up rage that this fan base has had, all the frustration of not being a good offensive team, not getting into the playoffs, missing on a lot of picks, going through another rebuild since Dwight when they traded away Vooch, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, it was a great moment for them last night. This is something that they built towards. They're clearly not a finished product. They struggle to score the basketball. Last night was a little bit of an outlier on both sides, but there's a chance they can win this series. Cleveland is the better team. They have more weapons, but Jamal Mosley is a hard coach to try and scheme against. So I think this is going to be a fun series, but you know, for the moment, play that song.
What better way to send
you
off?
You can't see me. I'm dancing. Go off.
The super sub dancing away. John O'Leary, our engineer, is dancing next to me. We appreciate you joining us from the ATL, my friend, on the All Pro Roofing Hotline. Enjoy the rest of what I'm sure will be a not so controversial weekend up in Atlanta.
You as well. Thank you as always for the time, both you, Mia, as I always say, ma'am, and say hi to Terrence.
Ma'am. There he goes. Lou Ketrick. Again, you can find him, LH Sports TV. We have another guest coming up that Taylor has lined up for us as we look at the NFL draft. Big picture. Yes?
Yes. Big picture draft.
Eric Eager going to join us as we continue to break down the first round. Look ahead to the second and third rounds tonight. We are live at Players Grill Mandarin. This is Helmets and Heels on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
This is Helmets and Heels.
Kept classy by First Coast Lighting and Fans. Upscale lighting, fans, and home decor.
On 1010XL.
All right, we are out here at Players Grill in Mandarin, continuing on our draft day talk. Some super exciting stuff happened yesterday. Obviously, most Jags fans very happy about Brian Thomas Jr. Some wild things up top that kind of shifted the board for the rest of the time. So we are being joined right now by Eric Eager of Sumer Sports. If you've I've had him on a few times. He was on the kickoff show with me during the season. He was on the drill one morning with me during the season. He also just made the pick for the Chiefs yesterday, which was correct, getting Xavier Worthy, giving another weapon to Patrick Mahomes. But, Eric, thanks for hopping on with me.
Hey, it's good to be on.
So let's just get first to the chaos that feels like it pivoted and kind of shifted everything for the rest of the draft, and that's the Atlanta Falcons selecting Michael Penix Jr. And I know you have a relationship with former GM Dimitroff. You guys do a podcast together, so I know you have some insight in that realm. But what were your thoughts of that? Was there any indication that that's the route they were going?
It's funny because I don't think many people thought that they were going to go quarterback. I thought it was always Edge, and it was going to be Latu or Dallas Turner, both guys who fell about, you know, 10 more picks. Thomas, though, you know, being close there, he still talks to Arthur Blank quite a bit as far as they're just friends off the field here. He always kind of like looked at me and kind of hinted that there was a chance that they could go quarterback. I was of the ilk, and I posted a few of these mock drafts, that they would have to go up and get somebody like J.J. McCarthy if they wanted to get a first-round talent there. But they kind of surprised us all with Michael Penix. The Penix thing is interesting because, unlike McCarthy, he's a little bit older. He's 24 years old. He has some of the injury history, of course. And, you know, the Kirk Cousins thing, I think, muddies the waters a little bit. Penix feels like a guy that you would draft to play right away versus a guy like McCarthy who you would draft to sit, which I think is Minnesota's going to do after taking him at 10. So it was just kind of an interesting. I wasn't as surprised they took quarterback as I was which quarterback, and I think most people agree with that. People had Penix kind of going in the late first, maybe even out of the first round in general, so it was a very big surprise by Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and Zach Robinson is the offensive coordinator there.
Eric, like you alluded to, I think that big picture, the Penix selection, and we just had Lou Ketrick from Atlanta on, and he was explaining to us that, yes, like it surprised a lot of people in Atlanta. It's probably the biggest overall surprise. Was there another point for you, though, another selection or maybe run on a position that you didn't expect last night?
I didn't think Brock Bowers would go to the Raiders. That one was interesting. They took Michael Meyer, the tight end from Notre Dame, the previous year. So I think Bowers falls into a really good spot because you know, most of the time when tight ends get taken in round one, they fail in large part because they're asked to do too many things. And then, you know, like Evan Engram with the Jaguars, they go to a second team and they're kind of asked to do, you know, when they go to the second team with the tail between their legs, they find a good role for that player. And Engram, of course, has been a good player for the Jags. And, you know, there's countless first round tight ends that end up being better for the second team than the team that originally took them. But I think in the case of Bowers, he's going to go and only have to play half of the tight end position for the Raiders, which I think will make him more valuable because he'll avoid some of the things like blocking and you know, line of scrimmage stuff at 243 that is going to be hard for him. The problem is you know, I think that the, you know, it's still, if you're going to draft a player in the first round, he's only going to play half the snap. That's a questionable thing. So it was a very interesting pick from my perspective.
Let's get to the Jaguars, Eric. Eric Eager of Sooner Sports joining us. What did you think about Balky trading down and getting Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, with pick 23?
Well, the trade down was great. I mean, they picked up about you know, 3/8 of a win. You know, when I was at PFF, we kind of came up with what every pick was worth in terms of wins. And so usually when you trade back, you generally pick up more than you gain. And they got multiple picks next year's draft that are day three and even a day two pick. So that's good business for the Jags, independent of who they take. And then they ended up, and I know there were some medicals on Brian Thomas, but they ended up with a receiver who I think was very clearly the fourth one in the class, of a class where there was three kind of blue chip players, and then he was the next player. He gets open. He had 87 targets last year only, but he turned them into 17 touchdowns. And so, you know, you think about why Jaden Daniels improved so much from Arizona State to LSU. It was very much because he had not only Neighbors, but also Thomas. So I think that's a great pickup. I think he complements their receiving core quite a bit now.
I will say Eric texted me right when they made the pick saying, good pick. And I was like, okay, we can calm down a little bit for some people. But Eric, when we're looking ahead now, going into, let's say, round 2, 3, 4, just because a lot of people do say there is a drop off kind of close to after that. But when the Jags now are looking ahead, cornerback, interior offensive line, maybe some interior defensive line, who are some guys that you can see them targeting that would fit that position group and even add some good value for Balky and the Jags?
Yeah, it's interesting. It depends upon kind of how much they want to move up. I mean, Jerry Newton from Illinois slid into the second round, which I think was a surprise for many, but there were rumors that was going to happen. Cooper DeJean from Iowa is also there as well. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama. You know, Terrion Arnold went later. He went 24. McKinstry is his teammate. Fell out of round one entirely as well. So that's another position where, you know, the Jags get some value. And there's obviously running backs. I know they took Tank Bigsby last year, and they have Travis Etienne, who kind of fell off a little bit efficiency-wise. There still hasn't been a running back taken. There still hasn't been a safety taken. There still hasn't been a linebacker taken, and only one tight end taken. So if the Jags fancy any of those positions, those guys are going to be at the top of the class. If they take them in rounds 2 or 3.
Eric, before we let you go on the All-Pro Roofing Hotline, let's talk corners specifically. When it comes to the Ryan Nielsen style of defense that he's going to be implementing here in Jacksonville, more of that press man defense, who's a pick for you that you foresee being there at 48, being there in those early 40s, even if the Jags are to trade up? Or are you in the camp of you can find great value at 96 late in that third round and find a starting press man corner?
Yeah, I would more wait a little bit just because at that particular, I think you're not going to be able to get DeJean or McKinstry. DeJean's more of a zone guy, and that's why people have like kind of wanted to make him safety and maybe probably why he fell out of round one. But somebody like DJ James from Auburn, who's a, you know, taller guy, 6'1", you know, kind of in that 170, 180 range, kind of long rangey player, like he's probably going to be available, you know, round 3 or 4. That's been kind of my favorite corner, just having watched him play in the SEC a little bit, looking at some of his numbers. That would be one that makes a lot of sense to me. But yeah, I think that they can wait a little bit now because, you know, there's 2 or 3 guys that will probably go within the first 10 to 15 picks of today. And then after that, it does fall off a little bit. And then you're just picking from your board based upon your scheme and things like that.
Speaking of scheme, I feel like Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida heading to San Francisco, is going to be in such a great system. What do you think about one of the local guys?
That one was interesting because I think that they probably tried to trade the pick and then just took the player they wanted all along, and that's oftentimes going to result in what people call a reach. But, yeah, if he goes in there and, you know, we'll see what happens with Ayuk, but he'll go in there. They have Samuel Ayuk. They have a Juwan Jennings on a restricted free agent tenure. So there's a place to play for him initially, even if they keep both of their wide receivers. And right now, in the betting markets, both Ayuk and Samuel, there's some support for them being traded today. And you think about maybe Carolina pick 39 or something like that, wanting to go and get one of those receivers. So, yeah, he'll play right away, and I think he'll be pretty productive. Shanahan does a pretty good job with those players.
Now, Eric, before we let you go, final one. When we look at the AFC South in general, and we've talked a ton about how it seemed to have got more competitive, faster than what a lot of Jags fans maybe thought it was going to be yesterday, Tennessee taking J.C. Latham, Indy taking Latu. What are your thoughts on the AFC South in general and those couple picks that happened there?
The AFC South is growing because you have a combination of great quarterback play in Stroud and possibly Richardson, and obviously Lawrence is quite a good quarterback as well. And you have great coaching. Shane Steichen is, I think, a phenomenal head coach. And I think AFC South people really like Brian Callahan, or dislike him because of how good he is. Brian Callahan, the son of Bill Callahan in Tennessee. So if you're the Jags, you're thinking, okay, how do we keep up? You have to support Trevor Lawrence. Well, you got Brian Thomas yesterday. And I think that Doug Peterson has to kind of turn back the clock back to how he performed in 2022, bringing this team from 3-7 to the playoffs. And then, you know, back to when he was the Eagles coach, where he took Carson Wentz to a Super Bowl, Nick Foles and Carson Wentz to a Super Bowl. And that's really what they're up against. It's a tough division because where it's most important in football, which is head coach and quarterback, these teams check a lot of boxes.
All right, Eric, we really appreciate it. Have fun tonight and tomorrow.
You too. Take care.
Thanks so much, Eric Eager, Sumer Sports. It's always a lot of work when you're a draft Nick time of year. We are live here at Players Grill Mandarin, and I want to tell you they have live music all the time, starting with tonight. Claire Vandiver performs at 8 o'clock. The Boogie Freaks tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. I love the Boogie Freaks. If you've never seen them and you like disco, be sure to check them out as well. We've got trivia every Tuesday, 75-cent wings every Wednesday, and this is the place to watch, of course, the draft, plus the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and UFC. So a lot going on. And just a reminder, it is Feel Good Friday today, so submit your Feel Good Fridays via the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, the YouTube chat line, the MyBookie Digital Studio. However, you can tweet them to us. We will get them on air. We will give you our Feel Good Fridays coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to break down more of the players we like at 48 when we return. You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Light up your lunch with Helmets and Heels.
Presented by First Coast Lighting and Fans
on 1010 XL.
This is a perfect Feel Good Friday song, isn't it?
It is. I love this.
It is Feel Good Friday. That means we want to know what is making you smile and feel good this Friday. I will start us off with the fact that we're live here at Players Grill Mandarin, and they have live music all the time. Claire Vandiver performs tonight at 8 o'clock. Boogie Freaks here tomorrow night. They always wear those awesome wigs, which I love. They've got trivia every Tuesday, 75-cent wings every Wednesday. And, of course, this is the place to watch the draft, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC. We were just chatting about how lovely it is that they've got the indoor-outdoor seating here. And the outdoor seating is still under a canopy, so you don't even have to bring the sunscreen. It is absolutely awesome.
Over 30 TVs in here minimum. Yep. I mean, so many TVs, which is obviously good when you're wanting to watch sports. But we have Christian Kirk behind us, a Trevor Lawrence over there, Duval's.
Not the hashtag, actual
yeah,
Christian
they're not actually
Kirk
here.
Or Trevor Lawrence. I don't want
come on
to,
down
people to come here thinking we have that, but we do have the cutouts.
And they even have the ability to put the MyBookie Digital Studio live stream
That's
up on
right.
the TVs too. So round of applause for the whole team here at Players Grill, RJ. Because they're pushing our live stream as well to the good people of Mandarin.
And yes, like I said, it is Feel Good Friday. So, RJ, take it away.
Wow! I feel good.
It's a Feel Good Friday.
We're going to have a good time together.
And that would be good.
So good!
Text or tweet something that makes you feel good today.
I hear good things. Really good things.
Around here, it is always a Feel Good Friday. And by the way, I don't know if y'all are keeping track, but this is a whole month of doing Helmets and Heels.
I was thinking about that.
Four
on the
weeks
ride here.
In the books, ladies, and cheers to many, many more, and certainly cheers to the freaking weekend. Also, Taylor kick us off with what is making you feel good this Friday.
Yeah, so I could go multiple ways with this today.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the Bears yet at all, so if you want to go that direction.
Yeah, I was like, we could go multiple ways with this. I want to, number one, give a shout-out to Submarine Mike over here. Die hard, and since day one, Iceman season ticket holder, and he has his sign. If you've ever been to an Iceman game, you've seen him up front. He's always behind the penalty box, heckling all of the guys that get penalties on opposing teams by writing some pretty funny little.
And now it lights up, by the way. It has been an added
feature
over the years.
And obviously the Icemen are playing tonight on the road. They're up 2-1, so hopefully they can come back with a couple more. Honestly, let's just end it down there. That'd be kind of fun. Let's just end it. Come back and
on go road ice. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, road ice. So I could go that route because obviously I've talked about on here how much I love the Jacksonville Icemen, and I could go Roma Dunze. I've been manifesting that since the beginning of January because I have been literally obsessed with this guy forever. And when the Atlanta Falcons picked...
Obsessed in a healthy football fashion.
Kind of, honestly.
Well,
borderline getting a little crazy for a minute. So I was ecstatic when I saw Atlanta. I was sharing the story with you guys for a minute because my phone was ahead of the stream. And so I was ignoring my phone because I didn't want to get the picks ahead of time. I was like, I want to see this
Unlike the rest of America.
Yeah. I wanted to watch the actual stream of the NFL draft and get it that way. But I accidentally looked at the phone, and when I did, it said Atlanta Falcons draft Michael Penix, and my heart just like dropped. But I'm not even going to go that route. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs because unfortunately we lost Cody Bellinger. He got hurt, has some fractured ribs. He's out for a little while, possibly until sometime in June. They called up Pete Crow Armstrong, who we got in a trade with the Mets a while back. We've been waiting for PCA to get up for a while. He came up for a little bit last year. It wasn't too great. He's a great center fielder, but wasn't able to get any hits. He got his first major league hit, which was a 3-run home run to sweep the Astros. And so I was fired up. I was pumped. Go PCA. And that's my Feel Good Friday.
I like how your Feel Good Friday really was Roma Dunze, though. I'm going to get to point C by way of point A and point B, but really the fact that you got Roma Dunze, you knew you were getting Caleb, and so I knew you were happy last night.
Oh, my gosh.
And manifested.
Yes.
You weren't the only one.
I put it into the universe.
I know Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show said the same thing as a Bears fan. Like, you guys have, like, quietly been manifesting for weeks.
Yeah.
And then it actually
Caleb
happened.
Williams was. They were on a flight together. They were playing catch together. Right. Caleb made a lot of comments. It was all of this stuff. I was like, Caleb Williams helped us too. So shout out.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel as far as like the manifesting. Like, this is the player I wanted for months. And then you see the
trade back.
So it's like, okay, are they still going to get the guy that I know a lot of people wanted? Mia, how about you? Feel Good Friday today.
Yes. Well, needless to say, I will be working on the weekend like usual, in the words of a certain artist. And that's A-okay because, of course, it's draft weekend. But
do you know who sings that song?
Yes, it would be Drake.
You're talking about that one.
Yeah. Who'd you
think? Oh, see, I think of the old one. Lover Boy. Oh. Everybody's working for the weekend.
No, working.
You know that song, right?
Yeah, but working on the weekend like usual is actually a Drake lyric.
I believe you.
I am correct. Okay. All right. I had to look at John O'Leary and make sure I was correct in saying that. Needless to say, caffeine will be consumed this weekend. I don't know how, but I have now been living about a mile from a Dunkin' Donuts for almost 7 months. And like, as someone who, of course, grew up in the Northeast, like going to Dunkin' is like a daily occurrence, especially when I was at Ithaca College. Mm-hmm. We literally went every morning. But I had not been once to my local Dunkin'.
Really?
I had $20 on the gift card, though. And as I was leaving the house this morning, I was like, it's time to treat yourself. And so
what'd you get?
I actually got, thank you for asking, Taylor, mm-hmm. I got their new churro flavor, the limited edition, because again, it's a Feel Good Friday and it's draft weekend. And I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to a little something. And
churros are hot lately. Have you noticed this?
Oh, across the board. Yes. Even at the Guggen, too.
At the Guggen, there was churros.
Yes.
Popular is what you mean by hot.
We're really speaking like the kids today. So,
and,
no cap.
I saw yesterday Subway has foot-long churros now.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
So churros are
interesting.
The it thing.
My other Feel Good Friday is that in good news, we'll talk about this next Feel Good Friday as well. Not that we're going to bore you with my sister's wedding details, but both Lauren and Taylor and John have been subjected to hearing about some of the details. And the church ceremony is next weekend, so I'll be on a flight after Helmets and Heels next week. And she did, round of applause, RJ, they did get the marriage license this morning. Oh, so good.
That's kind of important before you get married.
Got the picture, so very, very happy for Cobb and KV. And yeah.
Have we had Bridezilla?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that came out last week. But it wasn't even about the wedding's good.
Yeah.
Bachelorette, I'm in charge of. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's going to get mad, but I'm going to say it. It's the shower.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been, like, venting to a lot of people. I didn't know that bridal showers would be, like, the pivot point that, like, sends someone over the edge.
You never know when it comes to brides what's going to upset them. Feel Good Friday, I got two. One, I think, is very obvious. Brian Thomas Jr., now a Jacksonville Jaguar, 4.33 speed in case you missed it. He's a big receiver, possession guy. He's going to be fantastic in this offense. And I do think the offense is going to be far more vertical than what we've seen with Gabe Davis certainly stretching the field.
Yeah.
And Zay. Brian Thomas Jr. and a healthy Zay, healthy Christian Kirk. Like, now, yes, you have a lot more options for Press Taylor if he's the one calling those plays. My other Feel Good Friday is happening on Sunday, the opening of the beaches.
Oh, yes.
Opening of the beaches parade from 2 to 3 p.m. As we always talk about in my household, there's no closing of the beaches.
Yeah,
the beaches are always open. But this weekend is always fun because it is a parade. So for kids, if you've never been, it's a lot of fun out there at the beach. And so looking forward to that. And I have been so incredibly busy that I have not even checked the weather for this weekend, but I am happy to report now that I'm doing it. Yes, highs in the low 80s and then lows in the 60s. So that is literally dialed up perfectly.
Yeah, I got a walk in this morning and I had a long sleeve shirt on and I regretted that decision.
Oh, you always
immediately.
My suggestion for you is bring the long sleeve.
Right.
That way you can always discard and then go down to the tank top.
As we head to the MyBookie Digital Studio chat line as well as the text line for your Feel Good Fridays, we have to start with this one. We've dubbed him the finger guy.
Oh. I did not dub him.
He also goes by George Kluval on the YouTube chat.
That's better.
He says he feels good because y'all ladies look beautiful and happy, ready to draw up the contract to remove my ring finger for a Jaguar Super Bowl win. Let's go.
For people who do not know, that's how it started. He said he would lose a finger. Yeah. Maybe an arm, I don't know, for the Jaguars to win a Super Bowl. So that's why he was dubbed the finger guy.
Yeah, we did need to clarify that. But I wonder how many Jaguars fans would fit in that category.
I think a lot.
I will lose a finger for a Jaguars Super Bowl.
I think a lot.
It's funny. I am obviously a diehard fan. I've grown up with the team. I went to my first game the first year that they were around with my grandfather. I am not willing, and I even have a disfigured finger from being dislocated
that
was not repaired properly via surgery, and I'm still wanting to keep all 10 of my fingers. But, you know, maybe one day that's a pull.
Shave your head for a guaranteed Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. That's an easy one to me because, yeah, everyone's going to say yes to that one.
The guys, I feel like, is easier, but
yeah,
I
but
feel like
wouldn't
still.
Wouldn't you for a Bears Super Bowl?
The heck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is super easy.
It'll and grow even back. Like, some wigs if
I don't have any tattoos, but even if you said you have to get a tattoo, like Harbaugh had to once he offered that up. Like I think I might pass out,
but I'll do it.
Yeah, that's also true. All right. So we had Matt Moscona on last Monday when we were at the Guggen at Hidden Hills. And Matt Moscona, for people who don't know, is a fantastic sportscaster covering all things LSU, the Saints as well, but he certainly lives and breathes LSU football, LSU baseball, LSU basketball, all those things. And so Matt has a really good perspective on the Jaguars' new wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. And so
we covered in high school too, which I think is important.
Yeah,
to note
He
well.
Covered both, I think, Neighbors and Thomas Jr. In high school. But so we talked to him specifically about Brian Thomas Jr. and that 4.33 speed.
The sub 4.4 speed surprised me, but it shows up on tape. And if I had told you the thing that maybe was a concern, it would have probably been his hands. There was a fall scrimmage they had before this past season, and Brian Thomas had about 3 drops. I mean, goal line drops. And it was one of the things that I was most interested in watching as it developed throughout the year, and there was never a shred of that. It was probably just like a bad day for him. But there aren't a lot of holes in that game, man. He's got the size, he's got hands, he's got the speed. He's going to make somebody very happy. And the other thing, too, that you always worry about is you're going to take someone in round one. It's like, is money going to change somebody, right? Like, is, you know, what are you dealing with personality wise? And I think when you go back to the recruiting store with Brian, that kind of illustrates who he is. He's just not the guy that's going to be super loud, flashy, maybe a little atypical for NFL wide receivers. But I think that's probably going to bode well for Brian Thomas at the next level.
He's going to make someone very happy. Well, that someone is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hello. We're here.
Taylor from Jacksonville. It's funny because almost identical, and I talked to somebody else on my podcast about Brian Thomas, and he said almost identical to number one when it comes to his sure hands. And he said there were moments earlier in his career where they had, like, slight concerns, but by the end, he had some of the best hands that he's ever seen in college football. And then he also was talking about just the personality side of it and that, like, the atypical part of it. But I want to say his exact words were he's going to make somebody very happy.
And that's the thing. I think when you dive into the film, you realize that this LSU offense was certainly talented across the board. Mm-hmm. But Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy that he was opposite Malik Nabers, and yet he still led the country in receiving touchdowns. Yeah. That's important to note.
I think that what's going to be most fascinating for me is that whereas Malik Nabers, as Matt alluded to when we had him on, and I've heard it from multiple people, Malik Nabers is the flashy, typical LSU wide receiver personality on and off the field, whereas Brian Thomas inherently is much more reserved, quieter, perhaps, and I saw this written up by a couple different people, including Bob McGinn of GoLong.com, you know, he noted that some people questioned if that was the reason why it took him so long to get onto the field at LSU. Not because of the talent, but because perhaps he wasn't as aggressive, get me the ball, put me on the field like Malik Nabers was, and was much more okay with let me wait my turn, let me learn behind guys, and just, you know. I think that plays well in the Jaguars locker room, but I think it does beg the question of if he is your number one wide receiver, do you need to have that alpha give it to me or else mentality? Is it something that can be developed? Is it a requirement in the NFL in 2024?
And see, I think it's great if you're coming into this team's wide receiving core.
That fits
group.
This locker room perfectly.
That's what exactly what they need because they know Trevor has so many targets. They can't have one guy going, and I don't know if Ridley was like this or not, but they can't have one guy out there being like, I need the ball. Right. Like, they have to be willing to
be a part of, like a Diggs.
Exactly. They have to be willing to be a part of the whole machine and – I think you need guys like that. Not necessarily just a role player. Like Brian Thomas Jr. could leave the Jaguars in receiving touchdowns this season as a rookie. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying he could based off of just how things go. And we know that the red zone was this area where the Jaguars struggled so much the last 2 years, really, not just even the year they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so speaking of stretching the field, I want to get Matt Moscona one more comment from him, ESPN Baton Rouge, on Brian Thomas Jr. and how he can stretch the field.
When you look at a guy that's his size, when he's 6'4", 210, I'm actually not sure what he officially weighed at the combine, but he's a big receiver. I think you would typically think that's a guy that's more of someone that Saints fans would know, a Michael Thomas mold, right? A guy that's going to go over the middle and make tough catches, which he can do. But the way that LSU used Brian Thomas was stretching the field. His ability to beat defensive backs over the top was something that I didn't know that he had, and we didn't really see until this year. So that's the thing that I think has most NFL teams intrigued with Brian Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. Stretching the field and a comparison to Michael Thomas,
and
I love that.
And that's one thing, Lauren, obviously, we talked about if you watched LSU football last year and you were seeing some of the throws that Jaden Daniels was making, and that's the reason he went number two, I think, is because they were just spot on in the basket throws. And Brian Thomas was the guy who, in stride, full speed, was not dropping balls whatsoever, making these incredible catches over his shoulder. And that's just something that you also just in your mind can envision being perfect with Trevor Lawrence.
Certainly. Did either of you watch any Bill Belichick last night on the draft?
Oh, I did not.
I did not. I read, because I am a media nerd, I read like Front Office Sports and Richard Deitch this morning because I was curious. Nick Saban got rave reviews as well. And also,
how could he not? I mean, he coached half these
guys. Or against them.
Or recruited them. Or,
his on-air presence was spectacular from what.
It looked like he dyed his hair. That's the only thing I'll say about Saban.
You know,
and that's fine.
He's in the 70s. He's allowed. But no, I think if you had told me like 5 years ago that we were going to be living in a world where in 2024, both Bill Belichick and Nick Saban were working for ESPN doing draft coverage. Like, I don't know if I'd believe it. Yeah. If you had told me a year ago, I'm not sure I would have believed it, because the expectation was both of them were going to coach till they dropped.
Yeah.
And they both seem happy. And that's I'm happy for them, because I think
they earned this.
They, to an extent, went out on their own terms. I think you could relatively say that they did. You know, obviously it was a mutual parting of ways in New England, but I think that
Nick definitely went out on his own.
Yeah, they found peace, and I'm very excited for them. I'm also very excited. A late submission for Feel Good Friday.
Yes. Let's have it.
For a friend of ours, a friend of Duval, former Jaguar Austin Lane, who is going to be fighting at UFC Vegas 91 this weekend, officially weighed in at 254.5 pounds. And so no doubt he will be in the cage tomorrow.
Nice.
And it is his third fight professionally. Obviously, his debut last summer in Jacksonville, the eye poke forced the suspension and a no contest. Then he lost to Justin Tafa in New Zealand, the same fighter. But he is going to get that first win tomorrow out in the desert.
Eye injuries are no joke. I can tell you that from personal experience. All right, we had also on the coverage last night CJ Stroud, and he talked about Brian Thomas Jr. Here is Stroud.
I like this pick. I think that's something that Renner hit on the nail, is they needed a down the field threat vertically for Trevor Lawrence. You know, the ball gets out of his hands so fast. So I think this is good for him to finally be able to hold on to it and get it down the field. I threw a BT this offseason.
Oh, you did?
And what stood out to me was just how smooth he was. Everything looks like a go. Everything looks vertical, which is great. I won't say he's exactly Chris Olave, but he has similar games. I don't think his release game is there yet. Like, he needs a lot of better releases. When he talks about speed, like, off the charts, like, that's what he reminds me of Chris. Catches with his hands. I think it's a great pick, man. I like this pick.
Yet another comp we have in the NFL, Chris Olave. A really good wide receiver, obviously, out of Ohio State, who C.J. Stroud played with there. I know that some people wanted corner so bad that I feel like no matter which direction the Jaguars went, they were going to be upset. Mm-hmm. Outside of that group of people, I think everyone else is thrilled.
And even then, I mean, am I going to call him out? I'm going to call him out. Our good friend John Shipley of Jaguar Report noted, as much as he's been stumping for corner, he said, how can I critique the pick? They acquired more draft capital, and they finally have a wide receiver so that Trevor can go back to throwing moon shots down the field.
Yeah, and I don't think that's calling him out, because I think he's one of the smart ones who says, I don't have to be right. Even though he was predicting corner for so long, and it was a very obvious thing, too, because of Ryan Nielsen. I just think at the end of the day, when weighing everything, the Jaguars loved Thomas Jr. We know that. Mm-hmm. They loved him. They knew where they could get him. And they said, Trevor's season is so incredibly important, and we believe the corner depth is there, that we'll get a good corner. I also think it tells us that they like Ronald Darby, despite what other people have said. We talked to Kadri Ismail, Rick and I did, a few weeks ago, and Kadri said that boy was balling. So I think they like what they have. And then, yes, they'll still certainly draft a corner.
I also think
I predict
that the board did fall perfectly.
Yes.
And I
thank you, Falcons.
Thank you, Falcons. We started with the Falcons in the 12 o'clock hour, in case you go back and listen on demand to some of our conversations with some Atlanta and national media folks. I believe Trent Baalke's been in this game for 20, almost 30 years. I believe that he had an inkling from his intel, especially if he did call Terry Fontenot and look to try to trade up to number 8, if he did speak with Ryan Poles and tried to trade into number 9, and he did speak with the Jets and had an idea who all these other teams were taking, I think he got an inkling that the defensive players would fall, and in turn the corners would fall. And so seeing just 3 corners go last night says to me that the reason the Jaguars did all their homework on those second and third round corners, and why I think you'll see one get taken either at 48, 96, somewhere in the mix tonight, is because there was an expectation that players that they have a top 60, 70 grade on are going to be there at 96 potentially.
Yeah, it certainly fell well. I'm sure throughout Jacksonville, people were cheering every time they saw a quarterback come off the board. All right, when we return, we expect to carry Brian Thomas Jr.'s press conference live, so you will get to hear from the newest Jaguar next on Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This hour of Helmets and Heels is brought to you by First Coast Honda Dealers.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
illuminated by
First Coast Lighting and Fans
on 1010XL.
Little Chris Stapleton for you this Friday. And oh, by the way, if you're a Chris Stapleton fan like I am, he has a brand new song that came out today.
He also will be here in 2 weeks.
I Should Have Known It. And yes, he will be here in 2 weeks. Next weekend, Luke Combs. That, I'll give you a hint right now, Mia. Might be my Feel Good Friday for next Friday.
All right.
Because I am going to Luke Combs next Friday.
Love it.
Super excited about that. And then, like you said, Chris Stapleton comes to town the following week alongside the king of country music, George Strait. Excited about that one as well. We are live here at Players Grill Mandarin, and want to let everyone know we will carry the Brian Thomas Jr. presser here in just a little bit. But before we do that, I will tell you Claire Vandiver performs tonight here at 8 o'clock. The Boogie Freaks tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Trivia every Tuesday. 75-cent wings every Wednesday. Come watch the NBA playoffs. Come watch Major League Baseball. Come watch UFC, which we talked about earlier. And, of course, come watch the NFL draft and tons of TVs in which to do so as we await Brian Thomas Jr. at the podium.
Yes, and just a programming note, if you are watching on YouTube or if you are listening on the 1010 app, unfortunately, we cannot stream there. And so what you'll have to do is you'll have to flip over to the Jaguars YouTube, X, or Facebook. They will be carrying the press conference live there. Then you come on back for the finish of Helmets and Heels once Brian Thomas Jr. does finish. The expectation is that Hayes Carlisle will also be one-on-one with him, and so we'll also have that interview available once we have it on not only the Frangie Show, but also on our YouTube, Facebook, other pages.
Also, while we wait for Brian Thomas Jr., Doug Peterson, and Trent Baalke, Taylor, we did not get to your pick at number 48 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is there a guy that you want more than any other guy?
I don't know. I think for me, I would maybe go, and this is someone that is a name she mentioned, actually, and I think because my mind, was so corner, mm-hmm. that now that's where I'm just thinking.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that, I think.
Yeah, and I both ways. That's why I said I would be happy either way, because I truly did feel like if they took a corner, they'd still be able to get a wide receiver that I would like, and I feel opposite the other way. Like, I feel like getting Brian Thomas, great, fantastic, you have this big wide receiver. There's still corners on the board. I'm not huge on Cooper DeJean. I think part of that is just because Mia's not, and I feel like if Mia's not on her guy, then maybe it's not it. But I like Ennis Rakestraw a lot. Like,
okay.
He's somebody.
Because DeJean is more zone, yeah, not man coverage. And
right.
I think he can play it. Sure. I've also seen more. And they also talk, he could be a safety,
that's
too.
That's what I was about to say. They talk about a position change, possibly, correct. In the NFL, which, you know, whatever. We're still going to be talking five guys
in
the secondary.
I think it's just because of, the history, if you know what I mean. I think that's the reason for it. Because, look, he is coming off of a significant foot injury, but at the same time, it's the only injury he's ever had. The medical's cleared. Mm-hmm. He did have to work out separately from the rest of the Iowa contingent. But by all accounts, he passed all the benchmarks. And so it'll be curious to see if he's the pick for the Jags at 48. But we know who the pick at 17 is, Lauren, and we're going to get a chance to hear from him.
Yes, we are. RJ, are we ready to have that presser live? All right, let's go. Here is Brian Thomas Jr., Jaguar General Manager Trent Baalke, and Head Coach Doug Peterson. To wrap the presser with Brian Thomas Jr., Doug Peterson, and Trent Baalke.
They seem very loose and happy today. It's very
free and easy.
I love it.
I would like to give a clarifying statement. I saw plenty of folks who were questioning my AirPods and my interview questions last night. I saw plenty of folks who were questioning that Doug looked angry last night. Oh. I can tell you firsthand, when you are in that room until 1 a.m, you're a little tired, a little maybe, thrown off your game, but from personal experience, but Doug definitely
woke up on the right side of the bed.
Ready to go, ready to rumble. Not that he wasn't happy with Brian Thomas as a selection, obviously, like, Trent alluded to, and from what I've been told as well, this was very much Doug's guy when mm-hmm. it came to, if we're going to identify a wide receiver and we can't go into the top 10 to get one of those three guys, this is who we want to get, and they got him.
Yes, we knew they were going to take him at 17. They got to trade back and still take him at 23. We've got one segment to go here live at Players Grill Mandarin on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels.
This hour is brought to you by First Coast Honda Dealers.
This is Helmets and Heels.
Kept classy by First Coast Lighting and Fans. Upscale lighting, fans, and home decor.
On 1010XL.
As we wrap things up live here at Players Grill Mandarin, want to say thank you to them for having us out. And once again, live music all the time. Trivia every Tuesday, 75 Cent Wings every Wednesday. Come watch the rest of the draft here tonight and tomorrow. Watch the NBA playoffs, baseball, UFC, and live music tonight and tomorrow night. So thanks to our friends at Players Grill Mandarin for having us out. And thanks to RJ for all of his hard work today putting the highlight package together for Brian Thomas Jr. and carrying that presser as well. It has been, of course, a feel-good Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM on Helmets and Heels. Ladies, hope you have a fantastic weekend, of course, catching the rest of the draft. XL Primetime is coming up next from 2 to 4, so stay tuned for that. For Mia O'Brien, for Taylor Dahl, for RJ Saunders, for John O'Leary, our engineer here at Players Grill, I'm Lauren Brooks. These heels are made for talking. We'll talk to you on Monday. And you keep